So praise the Lord. Wasn't worship awesome? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's dive in here. I don't want you to miss what God did today. Really, please don't miss that. It is amazing. And I don't want you to miss either that Pastor Dan can button his coat. Isn't that awesome? Yes, miracles do happen. We began a series last week called The Blessed Family. Next week, we're going to talk about how to go from brokenness into being blessed as a family. But in between, we need to understand about the blessed marriage, because there is a reason of the marriage, and most of my peers do not teach this or don't understand this. This is a revelation that God gave me years ago when the Holy Spirit led my wife and I to travel and to do marriage conferences. Marriage is God's plan. That's why Satan hates marriage. And literally, we're going to see in God's plan what he did in marriage, that it creates fear in Satan when he sees your marriage. Right away, all of you gone to, well, my marriage isn't perfect, and I'm not perfect, and I'm human. And I want to say, yeah, you're right. That's why we need Jesus, amen? That's why we needed Jesus, because we were born in brokenness. So in 1930, I had brought this out before in our marriage conferences here, 83% of Americans were married, adult Americans were married. In 2021, the next thoughts or test will come out next year, and we'll find out if it's gotten any better or if it's gotten worse. 2021, 49.7% are married. So it's gone from 83% to 49%. So today I'm going to show you the reason why Satan hates marriage. In Matthew 19, in my opinion, is the greatest chapter about marriage. All right, I know that many, and I teach a lot from Ephesians chapter 5, but I believe Matthew 19 gives us a particular revelation about marriage that will allow us to understand Ephesians 5 in a greater way, in the things of that Paul talks about regarding the church and your marriage, all the different things, the bride, all the different titles that we have in our marriage relationship. But Matthew 19 gives us the picture of what God created in the beginning in marriage and what marriage is. Now, in Matthew 19, we have a question asked about marriage and divorce. And Jesus himself gives the answer. Now, remember, Jesus is God, so it's God's answer on marriage and divorce. I don't have a right to think, well, you know, in today's day, no, my answer is what Jesus said, because he is God, and he's the one that created marriage. But before we go any further, as I a lot of times do when I do conferences, is I will say a few words to everybody here. If you have experienced divorce, in no way do I ever want you to feel condemnation. That's not God's plan. Many say this, but for the grace of God, thinking of all their faults, for the grace of God, I am still married. I really hope you don't say that. Especially saying that with those that are divorced, that God didn't have grace for them? So I want you to understand that marriage is grace, the full in the fullness thereof. And we're gonna talk about that in Matthew 19. And so I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. I want you to feel very comfortable that God himself is looking at you and he's pleased with you today. And you have gone through some things and the grace of God is still there for you. So let me show you what the Bible says about marriage and divorce and how important marriage is in the Bible. Okay, I said that again. Important marriage is in the Bible. Marriage is vital for spiritual maturity and development of the church, your home, all the above. Now, personally, I really don't believe many realize how important that this is to God. Simply said, God himself gives us the reason why marriage is important in Matthew 19. Verse 3, let's look at it. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" All right. So a lot of my peers, myself included, have tried to explain it because people leave churches, people get mad at God, at whatever. All right. So here, instead of the reasons for a divorce or a marriage, here that God created marriage, and what is that? And you as a man or a woman have been created in the image of God, and in that image you have this ability to walk in the power of, remember, relationship. You have the power to do that because it's who you are. Verse 4, Jesus basically says this in answering the Pharisees. Are you crazy? I added that. Have you not read that he who made them, notice the term, at the beginning. What did we talk about last week? In the beginning, there was perfectness. There was no sin. Relationship was perfect. We found after sin, they were naked. They were ashamed. We talked about shame, how God has removed that, all right? So today we have the power to walk in that newness. So before the fall, Jesus is answering in the beginning. Then he quotes a chapter in Genesis. It says he made them male and female and said, for this reason, or there is a reason why God wouldn't have permitted divorce before the fall. When he's talking, he's answering the question first in the beginning, how all of you are created. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Now, this word is used when you yoke animals together, and it means equally yoked. So right at the beginning in creation, men and women are created equal. There's no argument in the Bible. Mankind has perverted that. So each person does his share. The share is each person, male or female, does their part because that's who you are. That's what you're created to do. Now keep that mentality as I'm taking you in the journey of what Jesus is trying to do. All right, so verse 5 again. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be equally yoked to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So my question to you, do you think that Jesus exaggerates? Do you think Jesus lies? Do you think he's stretching things because he doesn't want to hurt any feelings? He said the two become one. Verse 6. So then, because of that, in the beginning, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together or made one, let not man separate. So Jesus' answer to divorce for any reason is no. Watch this. In context, before the fall. That's what he's answering. He's answering the question, can anyone be divorced? Because then the Pharisees, like us, want to argue because of their emotions. Because they're living this life of divorce in that culture of the day. They're living that life, just throw everything away. Because they don't know who they are and what God created in mankind. So it's this context he's answering, Matthew 19, is before the fall, before sin. So then they ask another question. First of all, you want to know, they're trying to trip him up. Verse 7, they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? That's terrible wording, and put her away. But he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. See that? Okay, keep that in your mind. Not until sin came into the world because of the hardness of the heart. Hardness of the heart happened because of sin. In every divorce, there is at least one person that has a hard heart, and a lot of times the other person has a soft heart, and they get devastated. So historically, Moses permitted you to put your wife away, divorce, if you had a hard heart. So this is what's going on at the time. This became part of the law, all right? Remember I said grace and law. I'm going to go a little bit quicker in a moment, but I'm trying to get all of us on the same page, because when we start talking about this topic, our emotions rise up. So take a deep breath and think what God is saying to you. My goal and what God has done already, if we understand this, it's revealed to us, and it will be today, that there will be a transformation in your emotions, that you'll begin to see who you are as amazing. Men were marrying other women and neglecting their first wife. They were actually abusing their first wife. We see that in the East now. So Moses then made a commandment. Give her a certificate of divorce, and maybe another man will treat her like the queen and the princess of God that she really is. That's the background of the scripture. That's the cultural, if you want to say political, law, whatever it may be, is going on. So in exegesis, I know that's a bigger term, Moses represents the law and Jesus represents grace. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There it is. So here's my point, and I'm going to give you three words or three reasons what God did, the reason why God did what he did for marriage. They asked Jesus, is it lawful for man to divorce his wife? Jesus says, no, it's not grace. Then they said, well, Moses said you could and made a commandment. Jesus said, well, that's under the law, and under the law you can. We would think it would be the opposite, right? Law would say you're not supposed to divorce, and grace would say it's okay. But grace says no because you're in a covenant and work it out. Law says you have a hard heart, so just let her go. So now let's go to the why. Jesus said, have you not read that in the beginning God made them male and female? Then he says three words, for this reason, and this is what we're going to answer today, what reason? And we're going to give you three things or reasons about a, watch this, blessed marriage. A blessed marriage. Here's the first. Marriage represents God. Marriage represents God. When you understand these three, you go to Ephesians 5 and you read it and you go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh, I get that now. All right? Marriage represents God. Marriage represents God on this earth. Matthew 19, 4, verse 5 again. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, them, plural, made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. Notice Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us, the Trinity, make man in our, plural, image. Okay, man is mankind, not male. According to our, remember last week, according to our, plural, likeness, let them, plural, what is plural? Male and female, mankind. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, all the creeps. So God created man, mankind, it's not man as in male, mankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So hear me, and don't get weird on me. Male and female is the image of God. But not just any man or any woman, a husband and a wife. When God made marriage, it was the image of God, husband and wife. At that time, Adam and Eve were not living in sin. So if God wanted to create a portrait of himself, he created marriage. That's why when you go to Ephesians 5 and read that, which most people teach on that, which is great teaching, that's why it says what it says, because of the truth of what I'm showing you. So God said, let us put our image and likeness on the earth, and he put a married couple, Adam and Eve. Male is not the image of God. Male and female is the image of God. So this is the very reason why Satan hates marriage so much, because marriage is the image of God on the earth. So listen closely. Satan didn't attack Adam by himself. He attacked when God showed up, male and female. Some of you might have gone, phew. Okay? When Eve's body was made, that's when Satan came in to attack, because when Eve's body was made, Adam and Eve, husband and wife, was the image of God. And Satan wanted to destroy that. Satan hates your home. He despises the blessings of your children. He despises the honor to your parents. He despises that. And so we have to get to that place in our life of understanding the reason for marriage. He saw God in Adam and Eve, and he got scared. So theologically, watch this. God is a triune God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Well, if God is three in one, then marriage is only two in one. No. Marriage is the husband, the wife, and God, three in one. The perfect image of God. That is what's called the blessed marriage. You get three in one in your home, hell has no chance to stand against your home. You have power. You have an anointing. You have an authority that can stand there and say, no, this will not happen. Whatever happened in the past, no, this will not happen. Today is a day of a revelation of the power you have in your home to create this anointing in your house that produces what we're going to talk about next week, the brokenness into blessing of your house. Are you with me? All right, I know you are. Here's the second reason. Marriage represents Christ and the church. Have you ever read Ephesians 5? Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, in other words, we are the image bearers of God on the earth. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. You're not glued to your parents anymore. You're glued to your wife, to your husband. And the two shall become one flesh. So we see that again, constantly repeated in Scripture. Why? Because it's the truth that will set you free and bring you blessing in your house. Verse 32, watch. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, talking to the woman, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So the two of you together represent the Trinity as a couple. The man, you represent Christ, and the woman, you represent the church, according to what's being explained. And that's what I'm saying. Don't get extreme on me. If you're watching online, don't get extreme on me. Don't go off and, you know, walk up to your sister and say, hey, church, how you doing? No. Okay? So it's a reality of understanding what this is. But so many people, because they don't know what they're created to be, struggle in relationships, struggle in their brokenness. And they take their brokenness into their homes. They take their brokenness into their parenthood. Everywhere they go, they're broken. And they're not walking in the authority of God. So the two together represent the Trinity. Husbands, let's say you're trying to win Joe to the Lord. It's an example. Joe says to you, well, if I give my life to the Lord, what is my life going to be like after receiving the Lord? Or how is God going to treat me after I give him my life? See, this is what the world is looking for. But when they see the pain of marriage, and they see the creation of God that's to represent who God is, the love and the compassion and all that in our marriage, the world is afraid of it. And there are a lot of Christians, young Christians today, because of all that's in our culture, are afraid of getting married. So this is your answer. You know the way I treat my wife? God is going to treat you just like I treat my wife. Then you ask Joe, would you like to be saved? And the question is, what would Joe say? What would your neighbor say? I don't want to be laughed at. I don't want to be put down or talk about behind my back. I don't want to be ordered around. So let me be straight out. If that is what you think Jesus is, you're not a very good example. Because what they're doing is when you're ministering to people, they're seeing you, they're seeing your marriage. They're seeing your home. And that, okay, hear it. That's not on you. What that is saying to you, do you really understand how important what you have is? Yeah, but you know, we've had trouble, you know, for years. Do you really, because you don't understand the ability you have to be married? Amen. Oh, first two messages in this series were really quiet. Next week, you're going to be shouting and yelling and all that because we're talking from brokenness to being blessed. Here's what they should think when you ask them about serving Jesus because you represent him. Mean I'm going to be loved? I'm going to be honored? I'm going to be treated like royalty? Yes, I want to accept Jesus. If Jesus will treat me like you treat your wife, sir, yes, I want to be saved. Men, we represent Christ. So now all the men are squirming. All right, ladies, it's your turn. You're talking to a lady and she says, you know, I really don't know how to pray or talk to the Lord. So you use scripture and you say, if you talk to the Lord, you talk to him the same way that you talk to your husband. Or you talk to him the same way that you talk to your husband. So what is that lady going to say? You mean I can cuss him out? You mean I can be disrespectful and dishonor? You mean I can talk about his weakness to everyone else? To my Bible club? Marriage is a lot more important than you think. This is why Jesus got upset when they said, is it okay that they divorce for any reason? He got upset. He said, you're nuts. You don't understand how this was created. You are living a life that's totally opposite of me. So you not only represent the Trinity, you represent me and the church. So Ephesians 5 says marriage represents Jesus Christ and the church. Here's the third and last point. So some of you can run. Marriage represents covenant. Marriage is his image on the earth. It represents Christ and the church. And it represents covenant. In Malachi, watch what it says. You're going to laugh at me because how the Lord brought this to me and showed me this revelation that matched what I've been teaching. God is telling them why he is not accepting their offering. First, their faith is out of order. Second, their family is out of order. And third, their finances are out of order. And that's why he gets into tithing in Malachi. But let's talk about the family part. God is telling them, I'm not receiving your worship or your offering. Yet you say, verse 14, for what reason? Because, there it is, what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. In a contract, what we do is we protect our rights and limit our responsibility. You go buy a car and write a contract, you protect your rights and you limit your responsibility in paying. A covenant is just the opposite. In a covenant, we give up our rights and we pick up our responsibilities. That's the example of the world. I have a wonderful wife, but sometimes I choose not to have my rights. Why is that? Not because I have a bad marriage, but it's because I'm in covenant with my wife, and I understand what my marriage represents. So if an unbeliever asks, how do I know God will keep his word to me? You should be able to say, look how my wife and I have kept our word because we entered into a covenant with him together. We are three in one. That's what you do. That's how you begin to manifest the blessings of God in your marriage. The covenant you entered in is for richer or poor. Now, that's not my statement of faith. A lot of you said that for richer and poorer. That's not my statement of faith. But it's true. If my wife and I lost everything, I'd stay in covenant with her. In sickness and in health, better or for worse. Some say, Pastor, it's really getting bad. That's what we signed up for. It's really getting bad. That's what we signed up for. Till death do we part. Marriage is the example of new covenant. God said, I'm going to love you, protect you, provide for you, bless you. I'll be your friend. Then God said, Son, speaking to Jesus, come over here. Jesus walks over to the Father. Son, this is Gary. How you doing, Jesus? Nice to meet you. That was 50 years ago I met him. And then he says, Son, I want you to go to the earth. And when you go to the earth, I want you to fulfill the covenant for Gary with me. Jesus, you live the life that Gary can't. Also, Jesus, I'm asking you to die the death that Gary should die for. And you know what Jesus said? Yes, I'll do it. Then the Father turns and says to me, do you believe that Jesus lived? Do you believe he lived the life you couldn't live? And do you really believe you should die for that? Yeah. Yeah. But again, I said 50 years ago, I believe. A little over that, but I don't want to get that old. And you know what the Father said to me? You're in covenant with me now. Gary, you're my son. Put you in that place. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. The question was, can we divorce? Jesus says in the beginning, no. Because the heart of God is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because I love you. I will bless you. I will be there for you. I will listen. That's what covenant, that's that marriage. That's marriage and my marriage. Today you can be struggling in marriage. Or today you've gone through a divorce or you're single, never been married. This is for you. You are absolutely included in all of this. I felt in my spirit an anxiousness in some today. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that. That's not of God. Rise up and begin to realize who you are in Christ. That God will do great things in you when you understand truly who you are. Yeah, but he or yeah, but she. Bottom line, When you both understand that, you have a choice. Either to have a hard heart and walk in the law, or walk in grace and allow God to soften your heart and begin to love one another like you've never loved each other before. That's what it's about. Marriage. See, it's not something you create. God already created it. It's not something you fix. Jesus already fixed it by shedding the blood and removing that sin. So now you can walk in that perfectness in covenant with God. That's a blessed marriage. That's who you and I are. Let's all stand. See, God does miracles. I stopped right on time. I love our cameramen because they're not giving me signals like. You've been blessed by the word? Did you know every word that I spoke came out of an absolute love for you? A passion, how special you are in the kingdom of God. When I come in this house and I see you, I look at you and I think, wow, what God has done. How blessed I am that I know you. How blessed I am that my life has a little bit of part of your life. That's why I think, because our last series, this is truth. This is truth. I just proclaim with your eyes open, looking at me, in Jesus' name, there's going to be a transition and a transformation in your homes. The words, the actions, the lack of actions, the lack of words that created dissension and disagreement, the power of those things just will be removed right now. That today is the first day of the rest of your life. And you can walk in such unity and blessing and carry the torch for Jesus Christ. And when people come to you, they'll say, I want God because I see him in you. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to love the Word of God because I see God in you. You have shown me that this is real stuff. This is real stuff. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say this and just kind of tweak your interest. But pray for your pastor, because I've been studying, and the title of the series, it was given to me, was Human. And looking at the humanness and the divine. And that Jesus is 100% human, 100% divine. And I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, human, divine. I'm praying, pray for me, but I'm praying to get real revelation of that divine moving into my humanness and seeing on a daily basis, 24/7, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit moving through me, not because I stop and go, ooh, praise the Lord. No, I'm out cutting the lawn and something divine takes place through me because it's real. That's what I'm praying for your homes today. Amen? Will you agree with me? That before, your human would think, well, if you don't do that, you know. But now the divine comes in and there's transformation and love and giving and receiving that manifests. In Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house. Everyone that's watching online, every home represented, the divine just to flow in such a unique way. Thank you, Lord, that we will see the importance of our marriage to you and how you created it. And instead of God aligning with us, we align with what he did. Thank you, Lord, for salvation and healing and restoration. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Tonight at 6 o'clock.